All right, I will say good morning. Today's daf is Yud Dalet Amud Aleph. We are actually picking up from the two dots on Yud Dalet Amud Aleph, about halfway down the page, actually. 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, 14, 16, 18, 19 lines down from the top. I want to thank Moshe Abramson for giving the shiur yesterday. And then an additional matana, Maishi recorded the rest of the daf up until the two dots last night. So hopefully you did your homework. I'm not going to pull the. By the looks over here, it looks like people did not. But we're gonna begin at the two dots on Yud Dalet Amud Aleph 14a. So we'll say says the Gemara. Now remember this. We're going to see. We're really continuing on the topic. Well, we're going to branch into a few topics. But remember again in yesterday's daf, the Gemara introduced a very interesting concept of Ma'amad Shloshtan. The idea that when a transaction occurs in the presence of three individuals, and among those three individuals are the concerned parties, that has a certain transactional significance, that creates almost like a maisa kinyan, almost like an act of acquisition because it's done in the presence of three. So continuing on that theme a little bit, the Gemara says the following, Hanau Ginoi, it's an interesting case. There are a bunch, we'll say Ginoi. Ginoi literally means like gardeners. In this case, it means farmers, but more specifically, as you're going to see, it means sharecroppers. So there were a group of farmers. The Avid Chushpina Bahadi Adadi. So we'll say, so the case seems to be the following. You had a group of individuals, a group of farmers, who had leased land from a landowner. So remember again, the way that sharecropping worked, there are two different possible arrangements for, there might be multiple arrangements for sharecropping. Two of them that the Gemara discusses is either A, you pay a flat fee. So let's say you lease the land for a flat fee. And again, in this case, it was a large parcel of land, so every farmer contributed part of the fee. That's one model. The other model, which is not really significant for our conversation, just because it's interesting. The other model is you pay a fee plus a percentage of the crop. Third model is you just pay a percentage of the crop. So the case over here seems to be that they were leasing the land from the landowner. So the farmers themselves are settling up amongst themselves, and they found... Pash Chamish Istari Zuzi Gabi Chadminayu. They found that one of the farmers had received, well, literally five more Istarian Zuz than the others. So one of the guys, one of the farmers, got paid more than the rest. So Amrle, they said to him, fine, not a problem. Yavinu Nehele Lemari Ara. You know what? Just take the extra five Istarian Zuz and pay it to the landowner. So in other words, don't put it back into the pot and for all of us to divide it. Just use that extra money, pay off part of the debt that we owe to the landowner, and we'll call it even. And I will say, all of this was Ba'ape Mare Ara. So all of this was stated in the presence of the landowner, the Kanamine. And I will say, in addition to that, the landowner did what's called the Kinyan Chalipin together with the individual who had received the extra payment. So there are two things that are happening over here. Number one is that the other farmers said to the farmer who ended up getting five extra zuz, Istarian zuz, so first of all, go ahead and pay the extra money to the landowner. So this was said in the presence of the landowner, b'ma'amad shloshtan. So there, again, a statement to convey money was said in the presence of three people. And number two, there was a Kinyan Chalipin. Remember again, just very simply, the Kinyan Chalipin is what if you have, let's say, in a buyer and a seller case. So Reuven is the buyer, Shimon is the seller. So Reuven wants to acquire something from Shimon. Reuven gives something to Shimon. Shimon acquires the item of Reuven. And in exchange, Reuven acquires Shimon's item. Essentially, it's a swap. It's a swap. So they did a Kinyan Chalipin as well. L'sof azal ovet chushpina bein dilei l'nafshein. So we'll say, it turned out that the farmer who had supposedly received the extra money was making a cheshbon, right? He was calculating out the monies, and it turned out lo pashka be velo midi. It turned out that what? Yeah. That he didn't receive anything extra. You know, we'll say, this reminds me, you know, when the Rav came to Boston, so one of the first things that Rav Soloveitchik tried to deal with was shechita. The shechita in Boston was very unreliable. The shochtim were being worked very long hours. So he went up against the slaughterhouse owners. The slaughterhouse owners obviously were not very happy with this because he was going to eat into their profit margin. So they turned him into the IRS, claiming that Rabbi Soloveitchik cheated on his taxes. So this was a horrible time in the life of the Rav. After this time, actually, the Rav really receded from communal affairs. He really receded from the Rabbanos. He spent the rest of his life really being kosley beis hamedrash. So after a three-year audit, so it turned out that they found that the Rav had overpaid on his taxes. But it's quite amazing that the real Chilul Hashem was that the Gentile judge chastised the Jewish community that this is how you treat this is how you treat a rabbi. This is what you're going to do. Like, I'm just pointing this out because here the farmer goes back and it turns out again, this case he didn't overpay, but he also wasn't overpaid himself. So it turns out that he actually didn't receive any additional money. So what happens? Also the kamid Rav Nachman. So we'll say, so the farmer now is in a little bit of a bind because here he had just committed to paying this extra 5 istarian zuz to the landowner. So what does he do? Sharmali my avidcha. Rav Nachman says, look, I don't know what you want me to do for you. So first of all, I will say, because of the statement of Rav Huna name of Rav, which is the din of ma'amat shlashtan. So first of all, you accepted to go ahead and pay the landowner in the presence of 3 people. Anything done in the presence of 3 has like the status of a ma'isa bezin, and therefore it's binding. So first of all, you committed to pay him in the presence of 3. Number 2, va'od ha'kanuminach. Number 2, you did a kenyan, you did a ma'isa chalipin, you did a kenyan chalipin with the landowner. So Rav Nachman says to the sharecropper, I don't know what to tell you except that you have to pay. So Amar li Rava, so we'll say Rava's over there, and he says, Rava's there. So Rava says to Rav Nachman, Atu haimi kamar lo yahavina, deleka gabai kamar. So Rava says to Rav Nachman, listen, the farmer is not saying to the landowner, I don't want to pay you. What is the farmer saying to the landowner? I don't owe you. I will say, there's a chilek. When I say I don't want to pay you, that means I might be obligated, but I don't want to pay you. That's not what's happening over here, says Rav Trav Nachman. Rav says, in this case over here, this was a mistake. It turned out he thought he owed, but it turns out that he doesn't owe. Amar Leis, Rav Nachman says, you're right. Im kein kinyan betosu. If that's the case, then Abba said, this is a case of a mistaken kinyan, and this is halacha l'maisa v'chol kinyan betos chozer. And Abba say, any kinyan that is made from a mistaken premise, ultimately, again, is revocable. We'll say this is the same din as a mekartos. In general, in any time that a transaction is undertaken with a flawed mindset or with lack of proper information, generally it becomes a revocable transaction. So in this case, Rav Nachman says, you're right, Rava's logic is very sound. Namely, again, the sharecropper over here is not denying the claim. He's not trying to renege on the claim. He's saying, when I committed to the claim, I made it under the certain understanding. It turns out that understanding was mistaken. Rav Nachman says, well, if that's the case, any kinyan made with mistaken understanding ultimately is revocable. Itmar. So we'll say, so now we go on. And that, by the way, that is indeed halacha lemaisa, that any kinyan betaos chozer, any time that a kinyan is made and under false circumstances, or not even false, mistaken circumstances, such a kinyan ultimately is reversible. Says the Gemara, Itmar, holich mara leploni, sheni chayiv lo. We'll say, now we're going to get into a fascinating case. So let's say again, I say to the shaliach, go ahead and take $1,000 to Shem, to Ruvain, who I'm chayiv to. So what's the halacha? Amarav, chayiv ba'achri yuso, v'im bolach sur eino chozer. So Bosei Sarav says, now Bosei, so the Gemara is dealing with 2 questions now. Question number one is that after I give over this money to the shaliach, for him to deliver it to the intended recipient. So there are 2 issues over here. Number one, who is responsible for the money? I will say it's an interesting shaila. So remember, I owe Reuven $1,000. I'm not delivering it myself to Reuven. I'm giving the money to a shaliach, to an agent, and the agent's going to deliver it to Reuven. So who is responsible for that money from the time it leaves in my hand to the time that it gets to Reuven's hand? That's question number one. And question number two, can I go ahead and call the money back? Meaning, let's say the shaliach leaves my house, and then somebody else shows up with my house with a wonderful investment opportunity that happens to be $1,000. So I don't want to pay back the debt right now. I want to invest the money. So can I call the shaliach back? Those are the 2 fundamental questions. So Rav says, to the answer to question number 1, chai bachri yuso. So I, the mishaleach, or in this case, again, the debtor, I am chayiv for the money until it reaches the hands of the intended recipient, which Rav Osai means that if the shaliach loses the money on the way, assuming there's no, gross negligence, something happens, the shaliach gets robbed on the way, so I am chayiv for that money. I, the mishaliach, the sender, am chayiv for that money until it reaches the hands of the recipient. And furthermore, again, Rav says, but interestingly enough, as much as I am responsible for the money until it goes to the hand of the recipient, if I want to cancel the shlichos and call the shliach back, I cannot do that. I cannot do that. Fine. Rashi says over here, Vimbalachzar, Velomar Hechzirim Lishema Yensum im Chabadarach Inochozer. So if I change my mind, Rabbi Sana, why would I change my mind? So it could either be because I don't want to pay back the money now, or it could also be because I don't trust the Shaliach. I decide, you know what, this guy is not the most dependable guy, and therefore I actually don't want to send my money with him. Either way, says Rav, I can't call back the money. Ushmuel Amar Shmuel says, no, you can't play it both ways. Shmuel says, Agrav, I agree with you that the Mishaleach is chayiv for the achrayis. Mishaleach is responsible for the money. But if that's the case, mitoch shechayiv b'achriyuso im balach zor chozer. So we'll say, interestingly enough, Rav and Shmuel agree on the central point, which is what? Who is responsible for the money? Who's responsible for the money? The Mishaleach. The sender is responsible for the money until that money reaches the hands of the intended recipient. What do they disagree on? Rav says, even though I'm responsible for the money, I still can't cancel the shlichus. And Shmuel says, no, can't play both ways. If I'm responsible, that means what? The money is in my domain until it reaches the hands of the intended recipient. And therefore, the ma'isa again, if I want to cancel the shlichus and call the money back, I can do that. To which the Gemara says, what are they arguing about? Lema b'hai kamiflagi. Let's say they're arguing the following point. The mar savar holech kizichidami. Umar savar holech lav kizichidami. So I'll say, it must mean that what? It must mean that their machlokes is the following. Rav holds, right? Rav holds, holich kizichi dami. Rav holds that when you tell the shaliach, holich mana laploni, go take this money to ploni, that is the equivalent of telling the shliach what? Acquire the money on behalf of the intended recipient. And therefore, once the shaliach has acquired the money on behalf of the intended recipient, he can't take it back. Well, say, on the other hand, Rav still holds that lemaisa, again, all right, and therefore I can't go ahead and call it back. And I will say, now again, but yet Rav will still say that I'm chayif for achrayis for the money. Why? Because the intended recipient will say, look, I have nothing to do with this shaliach, right? Rav says, remember, think about this case. Reuven lent me the money, which means that now Reuven says, my agreement is with Silber. The fact that Silber decided to go ahead and appoint a shaliach, Reuven says, that has nothing to do with me. So if something goes out and happens to the money between the time it leaves my hands and the time it gets to Reuven's hands, Reuven says, I don't care about the shaliach, Silber, just pay me my money. On the other hand, Shmuel holds, that's holich lav kischidami, to which the Gemara says, lo, the chuli alma holich kischidami, to which the Gemara says, that's not the point of contention. Everyone holds that when you say to a shaliach, holich mana laploni, take money to a certain individual, that's as if you are instructing the shaliach to what? To acquire that money on behalf of the individual. Bahacha bahacha miflagi, what are they arguing about here? Mar savar lo amrinan migo, umar savar amrinan migo. So I'll say the machlokes Rav and Shmuel is not about a yisodistic idea. They both agree, holich kischi dami. They both agree that whenever you tell a shaliach to go ahead and take something and deliver it to someone else, we'll say assuming that that something is a zechus, assuming that the something is of objective benefit to the intended recipient, then what the giver has in mind, what the mishaliach, what the sender has in mind, is that the shaliach should acquire it on behalf of the intended recipient. So what are, if Rav and Shmuel both subscribe to the idea, so what are they arguing about? They're arguing about whether or not we say migo. We'll say, now what does migo mean? Migo means, if I say this, then I say this. So Shmuel says, if you say that I'm responsible for the money, then what? Then I have the ability to call back the shliach. And Shmuel and Rav will say, no, that even though we say that I'm responsible for the money, I still don't have the right to call back the shaliach. So we'll say, so that seems to be the fundamental machlokes over here between Rav and Shmuel. But remember, at this point in time in the Gemara, what's a very important yesod is everybody is on the same page that holech kizechi dami. In other words, that whenever you tell a shaliach to transport something to another individual, what you are effectively telling that individual, that shaliach, is what? Acquire it on behalf of that intended recipient. Now, I will say, remember, this concept is a corollary to Zachin la Adam Shalom Befanov, that I could acquire something on behalf of someone even without their knowledge, as long as what? Right? As long as it's an objective benefit for that individual. Fine. Says the Gemara, Tanya Kavase Dirav. We have a Braisa that supports Rav. Holich Mana Laploni. Rabbi, remember now, Shitas Rav was that when I send money back, I send $1,000 back to Reuven that I borrowed from him. So Rav says, I am responsible for the money until it gets to Reuven. That's number one. But I can't cancel the shlichus. I can't call the money back. Because again, holich kischi dami. Says, you know, we have a price that supports Rav. Holich mana leploni sheni chayiv lo. Take this money to Reuven that I'm chayiv to him. Or tein mana leploni sheni chayiv lo. Or give this money to Ploni that I am chayiv to him. Holech mana leploni pikadon shiyesh lo biyadi. Or go ahead and take this money to Ploni because I was holding it as a pikadon for him. So, or tein mana leploni pikadon shiyesh lo biyadi. In all of these cases, Rabbi was saying, chayiv ba'achri yuso. In all of these cases, again, even though I'm giving the money to the shaliach, and even though what? I'm telling the shaliach to acquire it on behalf of the intended recipient, I, the sender, still have achrayas. Now, we'll say, you understand, by the way, we've already defined why that's not a contradiction in terms. Even though the shaliach is acquiring it on behalf of the intended recipient, nevertheless, I, the sender, am still responsible. Why? Because, Rabosai, as far as the intended recipient is concerned, there are only two parties to this transaction. Who are the two parties? Me and him. The shaliach has nothing to do with this transaction. So therefore, again, as far as the intended recipient is concerned, he is unwilling to transfer responsibility ultimately to the shaliach. Therefore, I, the mishaliach, retain full responsibility until the time that the intended item reaches the hands of the intended recipient. To be in balach, so eino chozer. And again, therefore, if I want to renege on the shlichus, I can't, because again, holich kizechi dami. To which the Gemara says, by the way, pikadon, Now, the Breis over here introduced a new case of a pikadon. Now, remember, what's a pikadon? So, pikadon means somebody gave me an item to hold on to for them. Now, again, so in the case of pikadon, why can't the owner of the pikadon simply say, I don't want the shaliach involved because it's not my interest that my pikadon should be in the hand of any other individual? To which the Gemara says, look at Rashi, Leimale, hai mishaliach, Ein ritzono shal mafkid shehei pikdono biyadacher dehachi kaim olam perek shlishi vechivon in ritzono shtachach techovulo vein chavon lo laadam ela befanav va'amai ein achozer hai lav zachio. So listen to this. Listen to the question the Gemara is asking. See, in the case of pikadon, remember the Braisa ruled that if I, let's say Reuven gave me an item to watch for him, I'm now returning that item to Reuven by sending it to Reuven through a shaliach, through an agent. So now what did the Braisa say? Once I give over the pikadon of the object to the hands of the agent, I can no longer call back the agency. I can't call back the pikadon. But why not? Why can't I say, look, Reuven really is very meticulous with who has his stuff. And I know that he would not want the agent to have his pikadon. And therefore, again, I, as the person who he vested the pikadon with, have the right to cancel the agency or call the pikadon back. To which the Gemara Samar Abzeira, what's the case here? Interestingly enough, Kesha Huchsa Kafran. I will say the case over here is where I, the individual with whom the pikadon was deposited, have been established as a liar. So I will say in that case, again, we assume that the halacha says that the owner of the pikadon is very happy to have his pikadon with anyone other than me, right? Because again, since I've been established as an untrustworthy individual, so the owner of the pikadon is very happy if I give it over to a shaliach. Fine, we'll say another case. So we'll say, so again, remember, what's so far come out from this sugya is, holich kischi dami, that when you tell a shaliach to go ahead and transport an item to another party, assuming that the item is an objective benefit to the intended recipient, halacha l'maisa, again, the shaliach acquires the item on behalf of the intended recipient. That being said, the mishaliach, the sender, still retains full responsibility for the item until when? Until it reaches the hands of the intended recipient. So we'll say another story. Rav Sheshes Havle Asharta de Sarbali b'mechuza. So we'll say, Rav Sheshes had sold cloaks to some people in Mechuza, and they owed him money. They bought the items on credit, and so they owed him money. Amar leilu Rav Yosei Parchama, bahadi de asis, I sinhu nehelev. So Rav Yosei, Parchama was going to Mechuza. So Rav Sheshes said to Rav Yosei Parchama, do me a favor, when you go to Mechuza, can you collect the debt? Can you just go ahead and get my money from the people in Mechuza, and bring it back to me? Fine. Also, you have in Olay. So we'll say, so what happens? Rav Yosef shows up, no problem. People in Mechuza are happy to pay. They're not challenging the debt. So what happens? So they give Rabbi Yosef the money, and they say to him, Amri le nikni minach. So we'll say, this is actually very interesting. The people in Mechuzah said, we want to do a kinyan chalipin with you. Now we'll say, now what do the people in Mechuzah want to do? Right? What's their interest? What they're concerned about over here is the following. They want to absolve themselves of responsibility. So they want to say, Rabbi Yosef, we're happy to give it to you, but we also want to transfer responsibility to you. Because Rabbi Yosef, we don't know you. We don't know you. So if you decide to go off to... Right, but I was thinking Bahamas, but it's a little bit far from Mechuzah. It's a little bit far. I was trying to think of a better. I'm sorry. All right, Petra. You know, so you know, whatever. You know, whatever. You know, so you're going to go off somewhere else. We don't want to be on the hook for that money. So what they're saying about is a very logical, sound idea. We don't know you. We trust you. You know, I trust you, but. Right? I trust you, but I don't know you. So therefore, I'm happy to give you the money, but I'd like to do a kinyan chalipin. So let's do a kinyan, where so essentially you acquire the money in totality, including full responsibility, and we're absolved. So Amar lahu in. So we'll say, so interestingly enough, so apparently what they did was, they said, we'll give you the money if you do the kinyan. So Rav Yosef says, sure, I'll do the kinyan with you. What happens? L'sof ishtamitlu. So we'll say, at the end of the day, so ishtamitlu literally means he was kind of able to deflect it. You know, we'll do it tomorrow, we'll do it tomorrow, we'll do it tomorrow, and then he left town. So he was able to get out. So I mean, what Rav Yosef was concerned about was the following. He needed to get Rav Sheshes's money. Right, because at the end of the day, Rav Sheshes was an out-of-town creditor, and if Rav Yosef didn't get it, then they weren't going to get it. So Rav Yosef kind of just keeps kicking the can down the road until he was able to get out of town without doing the kinyan. Ki asa legabe, so we'll say, so now Rav Yosef brings back the money to Rav Sheshes. Amar le shapira avarata. So Rav Sheshes says, shkoyach. Right? Shkayach, right? Good job that you got the money without assuming responsibility. Why? Delo shavisa nafshecha eved lo vel ish malve. Because we'll say over here, the Gemara quotes the pasuk from Mishlei. Eved lo vel ish malve means that a borrower becomes a servant to the lender. This borrower becomes a servant to the creditor. So in other words, sort of Sheshes tells Rav Yosef, shkoyach, good job, because you didn't make yourself like the Lova. In other words, because had you assumed responsibility, you would have become the Ish Lova. You would have become the Eved Lova El Ish Malva. You would have become the Eved to me. And it's not good to put yourself in that circumstance. Lishnach, you know, another version of this story is Shapir Avarta. Eved O Lova El Ish Malva. So we'll say, so another version of the story is that Rav Sheshes still gives Rav Yosef a Shkoyach. And what? And what? And he goes ahead and he tells him, because they were really the lover, they were the creditors, and it's their responsibility to make sure I get paid. So I'll say, bottom line, what's interesting about this case, and you do see this in other areas of halacha, that when there is a concern that a person is not going to get paid back the money that they're owed, so there are certain almost half-truths that a person is permitted to say in order to get, so obviously we're talking about cases where you are entitled to the money, meaning don't extrapolate from this. Right? So this is about where, remember, the money is owed, but people are being a little bit difficult about the terms of repayment. So sometimes you're permitted to say certain things in order to get your money, even if it turns out that you don't actually intend on carrying through. So in this case over here, Rav Yosef has absolutely no intentions of accepting responsibility, because why should he accept responsibility? He's offering to be a courier. But as the courier, I'm not interested in assuming the place of the borrower. See, he yeses them. Yes, 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 yes. Until he's able to get out of town, ultimately get the money, and get the money back to Rav Sheshes. And Rav Sheshes says, Shkoyach. So Mark tells another story. Rav Achi Bar Yoshia, Havile Ispika de Kaspi Minardo. So we'll say Rav Yoshia, Rav Achi Bar Yoshia, had an Ispika de Kaspa, had a silver utensil in Ardo. Amr Luhu, the Rabbi Dostoy Rabbianai, Ulrabi Yosi Barkivar, Bahadi da Asisu, Asu Nehelix. Well, this is a fascinating story. So listen, so again, remember, you have Rav Achi. Rav Achi is the one who had a silver utensil on deposit in Nardo, thank you. So again, remember, so Rav Achi says to these two Rabbanim, Rav Dostoy Bar Yanai, Rav Dostoy and Rabbi Yossi, listen, the next time you're in Nardo, can you fetch my silver utensil and bring it back? Fine, it's absolutely no problem. So what happens? So what happens? So these two rabbis, Rav Dostoy and Rabbi Yossi, went to Nardo. Yahave Nehile. So they go over to the people who are holding Rav Achi's silver utensil. Can you give it back to us? We're here on behalf of Rav Achi. You want to bring it back? No problem. Amar lohu, nikni meinaychu. So what happened? So the people who are holding the silver utensil say to Rav Dostoy and Rav Yossi, what? We'll give it to you, but what? We want you to do a kinyan, meaning we want you to accept achrayus. You have to accept responsibility, ultimately, for this utensil. Amr lohu lo. Amr lohu lo. So the rabbis, Rabbi Dostoy and Rabbi Yossi, said, no, we're not giving it back to you, meaning we have it now. In this case, Rabbi Yossi, they gave them the utensil first and then asked them to do a kinyan afterwards. So Rabbi Dostoy and Rabbi Yossi said, no, we're not giving it back to you. We're not doing a kinyan. We're bringing this back to Rav Achi. So Amr lohu adreinele. So what happens? So Rabbi Yossi says to the people in Narda who were in possession of the silver utensil, say, fine, so give it back. Meaning, if you're not going to accept our prayers, we're not sending it back to you, with you. Give it back to us. So listen to this. Rabbi Dostai and Rabbi Yanai Amar lohu in. So what's it, Rabbi Dostai? He said, fine, we'll give it back to you. Rabbi Yossi Bar Kifar Amar lohu lo. Rabbi Yossi Bar Kifar says, I'm not giving it back to you. So what's it, so Rabbi Dostai said, fine, let's give it back. Rabbi Yossi said, no, we're not giving it back. And apparently Rabbi Yossi was the one who was in possession of the silver utensil that belonged to Rav Achi. Everybody following this story?
Yeah.
So far, good. So listen to this. So what happened? They started beating up Rabbi Dostoy. So remember, again, to be clear, Rav Achi is the owner of the utensil. And he deposited it with people in Narda. He says to Rabbi Dostoy and Rabbi Yossi, when you go to Narda, fetch my utensil. Rabbi Dostoy, Rabbi Yossi, go, give us the utensil. The people who were holding the utensil say, here, grab it, but be mekabel kinyan, meaning you want to transfer responsibility. Rabbi Dostoy, Rabbi Yossi say, no. The guys who are holding the utensil in Narda says, fine, give it back. Rabbi Dostoy says, sure. Rabbi Yossi says, no. They start beating up Rabbi Yossi to get back the utensil. So first of all, they're beating up Rabbi Yossi. What is Rabbi Dostoy doing? Right? You know, whatever. He's eating half donuts. You know, whatever he's doing. The point is, he's going ahead, and he's standing there. So Amar Lei, Chazi Mar Hechi Ka'avin. So Rabbi Yossi's mamish getting pummeled over here. He says, like, Rabbi Dostoy, like, do you see what's going on over here? Are you going to help something? Amr lahu. So what does Rabbi Dostoy says? He says to the guys beating up Rabbi Yossi, Tav Ramulei, Shkoyach, beat him up a little harder. So what happens? So it turns out Rabbi Yossi escapes. They're fine. They come back to Rav Achi. So Kiyasu Lagabe, Amr Lei, Chazi Mar, Lo Mistai Lo Disayon, Delo Sayon, Ella Amar Lahu Nami Tav Ramulei. So Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Dostoy come back to Rabbi Achi, and Rabbi Yossi is obviously understandably upset. He says, Rabbi Achi, you're not going to believe what happened. Rabbi Dostoy, not only did he not help me when they were beating me up, but he told them Shkoyach, right? He told them, beat them a little harder, patch them a little more. So Amarlei, so Rabbi Achi turns to Rabbi Dostoy. He says, Amarlei, Amaiti Avitachi. Why, Rabbi Dostoy, what's the pshat? Why did you do this? So listen to Rabbi Dostoy. He says, Amarlei. So since Rabbi Dostoy says to Rav Achi is, you should have seen these guys. Right? You should have seen these guys. Amar lei, O son b'nei Adam, hein ama. So what's the hein ama? Literally means they were an amatol, which means these were some big guys. V'kovan ama. They were big. They wore big hats. Right? Umedabri nechatsiehen. Well, say medabri nechatsiehen means literally they speak from their kishkas, which means their voices were very deep. Ushmo seyen muvuhalin. And they had the scariest kinds of names. Arda, Pili, Brish. So we'll say all of these names, Rashi points out, these are all names in Aramaic that are names of wild animals. So Pashit, these are big guys, big hats, right? They speak in deep voices, and they have scary names. Omrin Kafosu Kofsin. These are guys that have, and they have a lot of, they have goons. And if they tell their servants, if they tell their goons to tie someone up, the servants tie someone up. Omrin harogu hargin. They tell the servants to kill someone. The servants will kill someone. Elu har. Listen to this. This is actually amazing. Elu hargu as Dostoy. Mi nasan liyanai abba bar kamosi. Had they killed Dostoy. So Rabbi Dostoy is talking about himself. Had they killed me, would someone else have given my father Yanai another son like me? This is actually very telling. Rabbi Dostoy says, you know, you think I'm heartless, right? You think I'm lacking compassion because I didn't say anything to save Rabbi Yossi. I have a lot of compassion. I also have compassion for my father. Because if I were to be killed, what's going to happen to my father then? So Amrle, so Rabachi asks Rab Dostoy, B'nei Adam Halalu, Krovin L'malchus, saying, tell me, do these people, do they have protection? Are these people connected to the monarchy? Amrle Hain, to which Rabachi said, yes. Yeshlan Susim Upradim Sharatan Acharehem. When they travel, do they travel with an entourage, right? Are there horses, are there mules that travel behind them? Amar Lehein, and Rabbi Dostai said, yes. Amar Lehein, he said, if that's the case, Ihachi Shapir Avarta. If that's the case, Shkoyach. In other words, if that's the case, Rabbi Yossi, what the heck were you thinking? Why did you start up with these guys? Meaning, again, I will say, at the end of the day, it's an incredible Gemara on many different levels. Essentially, what happened over here is that Rabbi Yossi totally misread the situation, right? Rabbi Yossi thought that he was going to say no, and they were going to say, okay, and let him take it. And Rabbi Dostoy realized that you don't mess with these guys. Literally, there is the possibility that they will beat us up, that they will kill us, and therefore just go along with it. We'll say, no, there is a concept of Chayecha Koldman. So Rabbi Dostoy realized that if he did not go ahead and comply with the wishes of these individuals, they might kill him as well. And therefore, again, Lemaisi, he did what he needed to do to save himself. There's a concept of Chayecha Koldman, that your life comes before anyone else's life. And therefore, again, it looks like he threw Rabbi Yossi under the bus, which he kind of did, but he was justified in doing so in order to save his own life. To which Rabachi says, Shaper Avarta, now that you tell me the whole story, I understand. I understand why you did what you did, and you were justified. Fine. I'm sorry? He must have not realized. The bottom line over here is that clearly Rav Achi didn't realize who these guys were. He didn't realize it. Or he realized it, and it could be from Rav Achi's perspective, he was fine with them being Makabel Kinyan. But Pashtos, it could be that he just didn't realize who he was dealing with. Neither did Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi also didn't realize, because Rabbi Yossi, we would assume, and he realized that these guys, Mamish could kill them, would have done the scene there.
What does Araya do with Shlichus?
So what this teaches us is two. So remember, the only reason why you're asking why is Dima bringing this story here? So this story is being brought over here because of Kabbalah's Kinyan. Remember, this backs up the statement that was made before, that as much as we say, Holech Kizichi Dami, that when you appoint a shaliach to go ahead and deliver something to someone else, lemaisa, again, that's tantamount to telling the shaliach, acquire the item on behalf of the intended party, but the mishaleach still has full responsibility until the item reaches the hands of the intended parties. That's what's unfolding in both of these stories. That's why in both of these stories, the person who is in possession of the item is happy to send it with the shaliach, but wants the shaliach to be mekabel, wants the shaliach to do a kinyan, to acquire full responsibility on themselves. Because without the kinyan, the mishaleach is fully responsible until it reaches the hands of the shaliach. So we'll say this, by the way, I'm sorry?
In both of these cases, though, the lender appointed the agent originally. In the earlier cases of the Gemara, it's talking about
that is correct. That is correct. But you still see that even in cases of we'll call it recipient appointed shlichus, that the responsibility for the item still remains with the mishaleach, until ultimately it reaches the hands of the shaliach. Now again, remember, there is an easy out to this. The easy out to this is, if let's say in Rav Achi's case, had Rav Achi said to Rabbi Dostoy and Rabbi Yossi, that tell the guys in Narda that when they give it to you, I absolve them of responsibility. So remember, the intended recipient could say that. The intended recipient could say, give it to my shluch and give it to my agents, and I absolve you of responsibility.
But when he says, go collect it for me, that's not a statement.
No, that's exactly the point. Unless there is an explicit statement that absolves the people who are in possession of the item from responsibility the moment they hand it over to the shliach, then at the end of the day, again, there is no transfer of responsibility until it reaches the hands of the intended recipient. That's the novelty of this sugya. Correct.
So if they're negligent, then the shliach could be.
That is correct. That is a very important point. Remember, because this will be no greater responsibility than a shomer chinam. Correct. So remember, in any case of shliach where he'll be responsible, it's only in cases of onus. But if there's an egregious, if there's gross negligence, then the shliach will be personally responsible. Absolutely. Says the Gemara Baiter. So says the Gemara, Holich Mana Laploni. So we'll say another, these are all fascinating cases. Holich Mana Laploni. So let's listen to this case. So now, remember, simple. More. This will be a more straightforward case. I say to the shaliach, take $1,000 to Reuven. Okay, I say, shaliach, take $1,000 to Reuven. And what happens? So my shaliach goes to look for Reuven, and he can't find Reuven. Why can't he find Reuven? Says Rashi, v'lo matzu, shemes. Why can't he find Reuven? Because Reuven is in the Olam Ames, right? He's no longer among the living. He died. So now, so the shaila is, of course, so now what happens with the money? So Tani Chada Yachzul Mishaleach. So Rabbi, so one brisa says, okay, well look, I intended to give it to Reuven. If Reuven is no longer alive, then what happens? Give it back. Bring it back to the Mishaleach. Bring it back to me. But Idach, another brisa says, Liyar Shemishin Ishtalchulo. Rabbi, isn't this fascinating? The second brisa says, no, what should he do with it? The Shaliach should give it to the heirs of Reuven. Isn't that fascinating? So Reuven's dead, give it to the heirs of Reuven. So the Gemara says, what are they arguing about? Meaning, so we have two contradictory prices. So what's the Nikudas HaMachlokas? Demar Sabra Holech Kischi. This is amazing. No, it's a very exciting Gemara. See, this is like... Yeah, okay, good. So says the Gemara, Demar Sabra Holech Kischi. So we'll say, listen to this. So one opinion holds that when you tell a Shaliach Holech, that's like saying zichi. That's like saying acquire it on behalf of the intended party. And therefore, Rabbi says, play this out. So if I send the money, I'm saying, shliach, give $1,000 to Reuven. Shliach goes to find Reuven. Reuven's dead. If you hold holich kizichi, then what? Then the moment I gave it over to the shliach, then what happened? He acquired it on behalf of Reuven. If it turns out that Reuven's dead, so who gets the money? The heirs of Reuven. Right, Reuven's children, Reuven's offspring. The other opinion says, no. When I say to a shaliach, holech, what does holech mean? Holech means, go and what? Zachariah, excellent. Go and what? Try to find who? The person I'm going to give the money to. Excellent. Right? See, somebody said, okay, we should start like Neshei Hadaf. We're also going to start the Nei Hadaf. It's beautiful. Right? So you understand over here. So if you hold Holich Lav Kischi, so Holich Lav Kischi means I have in mind that I want the Shliach to find Reuven. But if the Shliach can't find Reuven, then what? Then the Maisi gave me back my money. But he's not acquiring anything on behalf of Reuven. To which the Gemara says, I'm Rabbi Abba Bar Mamel. No. Tuchuli Amma Holich Lav Kischi. The truth is, Jose, so now this is the reverse. Remember, we thought that we established on Amud Aleph that everyone holds Holech Kischi Dami. Now, apparently, we're seeing that that's still up for debate. Rabbi Abba Bar Mamel says, everyone agrees that Holech is Lav Kischi. That when I tell my Shaliach, take the money to Reuven, that is not the equivalent of telling the Shaliach, acquire the money on behalf of Reuven. So Jose, say if you hold Holech Lav Kischi, remember, Jose, here's what we're trying to do. We have two contradictory brisos. Remember again, I told my shaliach, deliver $1,000 to Reuven. Shaliach goes, Reuven's dead. What do we do with the money? So price number one says, give it to the Yarshim of Reuven. Price number two says, give it back to me. So how do we resolve this machlokas? So Rav Arba Mamos, everyone holds, holich lav kischi, v'lo kasha, oh, habibari, habishchiv mira. Both say, listen to this, look at Rashi. Bibari, yachziru l'mishaliach, to holich lav kischi dami, v'zelo shalchu elu l'mekabav v'lo l'yarshav, Habishchiv merad the holich tidei zechihu. Or Rabbi says the Gemara, two different cases. The cases depend on the state of the mishaleach, the state of the person giving the gift. In the case where the person who was giving the gift was a bari, was fully healthy, then when he says holich mana l'Reuven, holich is lav kischi, is not like a choir, and therefore if it turns out that Reuven's dead, what do we do with the gift? The gift goes back to the mishaleach, goes back to the sender. But if the sender was what? A shchiv meira. So what's a shchiv meira? Person on his deathbed. When a shchiv meira says, take something to someone, that's the equivalent of what? That's the equivalent of the shchiv meira saying, acquire it on behalf of this individual. So remember, we saw this already earlier. When it comes to a shchiv meira, the laws are a little bit different. We say, divrei shchiv meira, kiksubin dechimsurin damu. When the shchiv meira gives a tzivoy, gives a command, that is as if a maisik kinyan has been performed. So therefore, you hear how Rabbi Mamel resolves this. The brisa that says that if the shaliach can't find Reuven, the money goes back to the mishaliach. That's why the mishaliach was a fully healthy guy. Therefore, holy chlav kischi dami, the mishaliach had a mind to give it to Reuven. If Reuven's dead, then it comes back to the mishaliach. But if the mishaliach was a shchiv meira, was on his deathbed, then when he says holech, What he's really saying to the shaliach is, acquire this on behalf of Reuven, and if it turns out that Reuven is dead, who does the money go to? The children of Reuven. Rav Zvid Amar Rabbi says, so now we're going to see, by the way, just to keep bear this in mind, this is going to be like a seven-way machlokes as to how to go ahead and resolve this machlokes in the Brises. Yeah.
When the shaliach is sending the money to Reuven, is that because it belongs to Reuven, or is it just a gift he's sending?
It's a gift. It doesn't really matter. No, if it belongs to him, that's not a shayla. Yeah, if it belongs to him, then of course he give it to the Yarshim.
Right.
Correct. This is a gift. So Rav Zvid Amar Rav Zvid says, Hava habishchiv mira. So we'll say, Rav Zvid says, Rav Zvid, remember, just keep your eye on the ball over here. We have two conflicting brisos. Right? The case is a simple case. I want to give a gift to Reuven of $1,000, and I send my shaliach with $1,000. Shaliach can't find Reuven because Reuven's dead. What does the shaliach do with the money? Brisa number one says, give it to the offspring of Reuven. Brisa number two says, give it back to the mishaliach. We're trying to figure out how to resolve that machlokes. Rav Zvid said, Hava habishchiv mira. Rav Zvid says, in truth is, both cases are dealing where the mishaleach, the sender, I guess you call it the grantor, I think that's the technical term, somebody gives a gift, grantor, or a sender. The sender goes, this, in both cases, where the sender is the shchiv mira. Had yisei lemekabel b'shas matan ma'os, had delesei lemekabel b'shas matan ma'os. Oh, so let's say, so listen to the way Rav Zvid resolves this. Rav Zvid says, what's the case? The case where ultimately the money goes to the Yarshim of Reuven is where Reuven was alive at the time that the gift was made. So at the time when the Mishaleach gave the money to the Shaliach, so in that case again, Reuven was still alive. If Reuven was still alive, then remember, because this is a Shchiv Meirah, so when does Reuven acquire the gift? The moment that the sender, the Shchiv Meirah sender, gives it over to the Shaliach. Then if Reuven subsequently dies, the money goes to his Yarshim. Case number two is where what? Where at the time that the Shchiv Meirah made the gift, what happened to Reuven? Reuven was already dead. Oh, so the Mishaliach didn't know, the Shchiv Meirah didn't know this. Shchiv Meirah thought Reuven was alive. If at the time the gift was made, Reuven was already dead, then what? Then the gift never really took effect. If the gift never really took effect, then the Shaliach returns the money back to the Mishaleach. Rav Papa says, Ha v'ha bibari. So Rav Papa says, no, both cases, both prices, both cases are talking about where the Mishaleach is healthy, Baruch Hashem, he's not a Shchiv Meirah. I say, how do we resolve the machlokas and the prices? Ha demis mekabel b'chayei nosein. V'ha demis nosein b'chayei mekabel. So we'll say Rav Papa has a very interesting resolution. He says, we'll say, take a look at Rashi. Ha Diktana the Yarshim Mishnah Shtakulo, the Miss Nosing, Laakar Shemas on the Shliach, Mace Vadai Makabal Chai, Hilchach Mishas, Misas and Osing, Zachaman Makabal Mishon, the Mitzel Kaim Devraha Mace, Vavilo Hayabari. Both say, this is so fascinating. Rapapa says, how do you resolve the cases? So, case number one is like this. What happens? So, Mishaleach, we're just going to call the Mishaleach and Makabal, just to keep it easy. So, Mishaleach says to his Shaliach, I want you to give $1,000 to Reuven. So we'll say, watch this. In this case, you'll remember, the Mishaleach, the giver, the sender, is totally healthy. So says Rav Papa like this. If what? If the Mishaleach predeceases Reuven, the Mekabel, so what's the halacha? The halacha is we give the money to Reuven. Right? So we'll say, why do we give the money to Reuven? This is amazing. Why do we give the money to Reuven? Because mitzvah l'kayim divrei hames. There is a mitzvah to fulfill the words of a dead person. Now the novelty in that, the normal application of mitzvah l'kayim divrei hames is what? Normally when someone is on their deathbed, right? Shchiv Meirah. So then we say, whatever they tell us to do, we do, because mitzvah l'kayim divrei hames. This is, Rav Papa has a fascinating application of this. Rav Papa says, if somebody gave you instructions and now they're dead, it's a mitzvah to carry out those instructions, even though they didn't give you those instructions, because they were dying. That's not why they give you those instructions. They give you the instructions because whatever, that's the instructions they gave you. But because now they're dead, there's a mitzvah to carry it out. So therefore again, if the Mishaleach says to the Shaliach, give $1,000 to Reuven, and then the Mishaleach dies, says Rav Papa, in that case, Taloch is Shliach. Give the money to Reuven. Why? Because mitzvah l'kayim divrei hames. But, what's the but? If their intended recipient, Reuven, predeceases the Mishaleach, then what do? We give back the money to the Mishaleach. In that case, the money does not go to the Arshim of Reuven. That's the Rav Papa. So the Gemara says, Lema Maybe at the end of the day, says the Gemara, we have all these different opinions, right? We have the Tanakama, Rav Abar Bar Mamol, Rav Zavid, Rav Papa. We're going to have a few more in just a few moments. Maybe the underlying machlokes over here is whether or not holich kizechi. Meaning, all of this seems to really center on this idea of when you tell a shaliach to take something to an intended recipient, are they just a courier? Are they just a courier? Or are they actually acting on behalf of the intended recipient? Well, so you understand? This is really like a yesodistic machlokes in shlichos. That's really what's happening over here. Is a shaliach just a messenger to get something from point A to point B? Or is a shaliach actually acting in the best interest of the intended recipient? So that when you give something over to a shaliach, assuming that what's being given over to the shaliach is of objective benefit to the intended recipient, the shaliach is like an extension of the arm of the intended recipient, and therefore the intended recipient acquires the item immediately when it reaches the hands of the shaliach. So the Gemara says, maybe this is the another machlokas. To which the Gemara says, Disanyo, holich mana laploni v'halachu b'kshav l'matzo. But say, it seems to be a similar case. Well, look what the Braisa says. Right, the mishaliach says to the shaliach, take a mana, take $1,000 to ploni. V'halachu b'kshav l'matzo. The shaliach tries to find ploni, but what? Can't find ploni. So what's the halacha? Yachzeru l'mishaliach. So we'll say, so this Braisa rules that the money has to be returned to the mishaliach, to the sender. So the Gemara says, Meis Mishalech. Oh, so Rabosa, listen to this case. Now we're compounding things even more. See, Rabosa, see, remember again, in case number one, so what ended up happening? The Shaliach went to find the intended recipient died. In case number two, what happened? Shliach went to find the intended recipient, and then what happened? Intended recipient died. He goes back to the Mishalech for instructions, and what happens? He's dead too. Push it, dropping like flies, right? Everybody's dying, right? So now again, the intended recipient is dead, the mishaleach is dead. So what I said, this is a riveting case. The previous ones were fascinating. This one is riveting, right? Why? Because here, mamish, what does the shaliach do with the money? So of course, Bahamas, you know, is a possibility. So what does he do with the money? So I said, listen to this. Now both say, now we're gonna have another. Sorry. Oh, so watch this. It says the Gemara.
This is worse. You have not only the fulfillment of the mitzvah of the mess, you have the schia that the Makabel had.
Oh, so remember, only Rav Papa was the one. First of all, we didn't say anything about Shechiv Mira, right? So remember, only Rav Papa was the one who had that novel interpretation of Mitzvah Kaim Divrei Ameis applies to the words that were said by someone who was totally healthy, but now that they're dead, suddenly it becomes like a deathbed directive. So that we never in our lives heard of that before Rav Papa 4 lines ago. So, well, let's see. So that's why Rashi commented already beforehand, Lo Matsu Min Shemes. Shemes, right. This is not a case where he moved and I can't track him down. This is where he's dead. Meaning, you will not find him.
But the Yarshim are involved in it.
Correct. Now, we'll say, now remember, they're going to be two Yarshim on two ends over here. Remember, again, now we're going to have two sets of inheritors. We have the inheritors of the attended recipient, the inheritors of the Mishnah. I told you, you can't make this stuff up. I'm just saying, like, this is incredible. So we'll say, so watch this. Another machlokes. So what do we do? So I'm sorry. Meis mishalech. So I'm about to say, in this case over here, the sender died as well. So what do we do? Rabbi Nosson, Rabbi Yaakov, Amr Yachzru Liyoshe Mishalech. So I'm about to say, in this case, Rabbi Nosson and Rabbi Yaakov say, the money goes back to the Yarshim of the Mishaleach. We'll say, now, the Gemara is going to explain each of these opinions. We'll actually see it in tomorrow's daf. Right now, we're just going to go through them. So Rabbi Nosson, Rabbi Yaakov say, give the money back, ultimately again, to the Yarshim of the Mishaleach. Fine. Yesh Omrim. The Yesh Omrim say, the Yarshim Mishin Ishtalchulo. So what's the Yesh Omrim say? No. You give it to the Yarshim of the intended recipient. So again, mamish opposites. Rabbi Huda Hanasi Omer Mishum Rabbi Yaakov, Shem Shurim Meir, Mitzvah Lekayim Divrei Hames. Oh, so what's this? Rabbi Huda Hanasi seems to jump on board with what Rav Papa said before, namely, Mitzvah Lekayim Divrei Hames. Now the Gemara is going to question, Rabbi Huda Hanasi seems to be saying the same thing as who? As the Yesh Omrim. right? As Rapapa in the Yeshomrim, and as Yeshomrim just said one line above, you give it to the heirs of the intended recipient. So Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi says, Mitzvah Lekayim Divrei Ames, which seems to be the same thing. Give it to the heirs of the intended recipient. So we'll see what Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi is adding. Now listen to this. The Chacham say, Yachloku. Right? So the Chachamim say that what? Split it. Split it between the Yarshim of the Mishaleach and the Yarshim of the Mekabel. Vekan Amru, so listen to this. Vekan Amru, Rabbi say, Kan Amru means here. Rabbi say, now what does here mean? Here means in Bavel. In Bavel we say, Koma Sheyirza Shliach Yase. Bosi, this is amazing. Here in Bavel we say what? Whatever the Shaliach wants to do, he does. Now remember, this doesn't go as far as you think it goes, right? What does it mean that he has discretion over these funds? Look at Rashi. Everybody gets so excited with this, right? Mashe yirtzu shliach yasa lefi mashe ro'o bidaito shal mishaleach im haisa ino yaf matono zuva oivis and makabo vezbono. So we'll say, in Bava, what we say is like this. We'll say, this is a concept that we will see in halacha. It's called shuda dedaini. Shuda dedaini means judicial discretion. So judicial discretion usually means that sometimes a Beis Din can't go ahead and rule based on the laws of evidence. Therefore, they have to use judicial discretion. There's also a concept called shliach discretion. Shliach discretion means that we assume that the shaliach wasn't just a courier. He's not just UPS. He must know the mishaleach as well. And based on what the mishaleach said to him, what he knows of the mishaleach, what does he think the mishaleach would have wanted done with this money in this situation? I also remember, now he doesn't have that level of discretion to say, I think he would have wanted me to have it. Right? So that far he can't go, meaning his options are limited to what? His options are limited to some division between the Yorshe Mishaleach and the Yorshe Mekabel. So therefore, again, in Baba, what we say, we ask the Shaliach, what do you think we should do? So the options that the Shaliach have are all the ones mentioned above. He could choose, see, I think that the Mishaleach would want it to go to the Yorshe Mekabel. I think the Mishaleach would want it to go to his Yorshim. Or I think the Mishaleach would want it split. So we leave it to the Shaliach. So I'm Rav Shimon Hanasi. So Bosei, listen to this. Rav Shimon Hanasi said, and Bosei, we're going to discuss this in tomorrow's daf. We have never in our lives heard of Rav Shimon Hanasi. Right? There's no one on record known as Rav Shimon Hanasi. We'll discuss this tomorrow. I'm saying tomorrow, just so everybody knows they should come. Right? So Rav Shimon Hanasi says, I had a situation like this. Rav Shimon Hanasi seems to say, This mamish happened to me, and we ruled in that case that the money should go back to the Yarshe Mishaleach. The money should go back ultimately to the heirs of the Mishaleach. So my love b'halkim yiftiki. So I'll say, so says the Gemara, what are they all arguing about? Meaning what? So now we have all of these different opinions. But remember again, we know this already. In halacha, whenever you see this type of opinion, what we have to ask ourselves is, what is at the root of the machlokis? What fundamental core principle are they arguing about? The Tanakhama Savar, so it appeared to be that Tanakhama holds, Holech Lav Kisri. The Tanakhama holds, Holech is not Kisri. Holech does not mean acquired on behalf, and therefore if it turns out that what? That the Shaliach can't find the Mishaleach because he died, then the Mice again, even if the Mishaleach himself died, where does the money go? The money goes back to Yarshe Mishaleach. But Rav Nosson Rav Yaakov Nami Holech Lav Kisri, and I will say, remember again, Rav Nosson and Rav Yaakov also hold Holech Lav Kisri. The Avagav Bimis Lo Armina Mitzvah Kam Divrei Ames. So I will say, Rav Nosson and Rav Yaakov, who paskin what, that the money goes back to Yarshe Mishaleach, they also hold Holech Lav Kisri, but they also say there's no such thing as Mitzvah Lekayim Divrei Ames. So I will say, now, if we take a look at Rashi, Rashi says over here, Rav Nosson Rav Yaakov, Hosif al darva amru da'afilu meis mishlech, less than bebari mitzvah l'kham divrei hameis. Now, I want to be clear. Rav Yaakov and Rav Nosson, they hold of mitzvah l'kham divrei hameis. Everyone holds of mitzvah l'kham divrei hameis. But they hold that what does mitzvah l'kham divrei hameis means? If somebody is dying, someone is a shchiv mira, and they tell you something, there is a mitzvah to go ahead and fulfill their words. What they do not subscribe to is the application of mitzvah kam derames applies to someone who told you something while they were healthy, and then they died, that suddenly we go ahead and we consider that a deathbed request. That they do not subscribe to. Therefore, in this case, where the Mishaleach gave the instructions while he was fully healthy, and then again, the Mekabel died, the Mishaleach died, Rab Nassan and Rab Yaakov say, the Holy Chlav Kisri Dami, and therefore the money goes back to Yarshe Mishaleach. The Yesh Omrim, what do the Yesh Omrim say? Rabos, remember, the Yesh Omrim paskind, that the money in this case goes to who? The Yarshe Mekabel. Yarshe Mekabel. Why? Very simply, they hold Holy Kisri. They hold that holich is like schi, that when you say, when the Mishaleach says to the Mekabel, holich means acquire it on behalf of the intended recipient, and therefore even when the intended recipient dies, say his yarshim, his offspring, get the money. Rabbi Yehuda Anasi, Om Mishra Biyakov, Shara Mishra Rameir, holich lav kischi. I will say Rabbi Yehuda Anasi, on the other hand, holds. Remember, Rabbi Yehuda Anasi was the one who said, Mislekam Devei Ameis. See, he holds holich lav kischi. He also says that when you tell Shliach holich does not mean acquire, mihu hecha demis, Arminon mitzvah lekayim devrei hames. So Rabbi Yehuda Anasi says, look, I hold holich lav kischi, and therefore the shaliach did not acquire it on behalf of the mekabel. But because in this case the mishaleach died, Rabbi Yehuda Anasi subscribes to the idea that when someone gives instructions, even though they gave it when they were fully healthy, if they die before those instructions were carried out, those instructions then morph into what? A deathbed instruction, and therefore again, you should deliver the money ultimately to the Yarshim of the intended Mekabel. The Chachamim say that, remember again, you should split the money between who? The Yarshim of the Nosin, Yarshim of the Mekabel. Why? Misafkalu, simply because the Chamar in doubt, we don't know. The Chum say, we really don't know in this case who should get the money. So in the absence of clear instruction, what do we do, Rabbi Osei? In absence of clear, remember again, this first Mishnah in Bava Metzia. So what happens again? When you go ahead, you have Shnai, right? Shnaim Oksin Betalis. So what happens to Shnaim Oksin Betalis? So what happens? Yachloku. When you have two people who seem to have claims to the money, the only way you can, and we don't know which way the halacha goes, split it. But now watch this. Vikanam, and remember in Bava, what did they say? Shuda Adif. In Bavel, they said, Shuda, Rabbi Osei, listen to this. See, here's what you know. See, in Bavel, they didn't like Yachloku. Why don't they like Yachloku, Rabbi Osei? Because there's one thing that's unequivocally clear. If you do Yachloku, one thing is clear, which is what? No, right? You're definitely wrong. Right? Because Rabbi Osei, here's what we know. Yachloku is never the right answer. Yachloku is an accommodation. When I don't know who is right, so I don't know what to do, so I kind of just split it down the middle. That's for sure not correct. That's meaning, I will say, you see, when you're Yachloku, one thing you know with absolute unequivocal surety, which is, you are not correct.
Only as to half.
What?
As to half, you're not correct.
As to half, you're... So, I'm sorry, Mr. Optimist over here. All right, yeah. All right. So, great. I was going to say, you're definitely wrong regarding 50%. You're definitely wrong. Seth has a better... I'm sorry? Right, that's true, right. In the Shlomi Yachloku, it's possible that Yachloku... Right. So yeah, it's true. This right. It's not a fair comparison to Talis because by Talis they could have actually picked it up at the same time, which means that Yachloku is the right halacha. That is true. In this case, however, again, Yachloku is not the right halacha. Yachloku is an accommodation. So Seth is saying, good. You could be right regarding 50%, but you are definitely wrong regarding 50%.
But with Yachloku, Rashi says dafka ochsin, and that's the whole reason you can make the Yachloku din. Here they're not holding. Maybe one is holding.
Well, no, they're both entitled. Here, there's an equal entitlement.
It either belongs, as soon as you give it to the shaliach, it either belongs to the recipient or belongs to the, that's what the machlokes is. So it's not that they're both holding on to it.
They are both muchzak in it. They are both muchzak. You're right. It's not this. I apologize. I shouldn't have brought in the talus. I'm going to go back and edit the tape. Scratch the talus.
Pshara
is good because pshara avoids machlokes, but pshara is not din. Pshara is not din. So again, so they're saying over here, yachloku again, because what else are we supposed to do? V'kanamru, Rabbi, let's just finish off with this. V'kanamru, what happens? In Bava, they said, shuda adif. You see, in Bava, they say no. In Bava, meaning in Bava, Rabbi, they say, chachamim, we get it. We understand why you want to say yachloku. But you know, I say something better than yachloku. I'd rather say shuda. Because shuda says, shaliach, You know, you had contact with the Mishaleach. You had contact with the sender, which means, what did he say? What kind of guy was he? Now, this This in Bavel, this presupposes that the, I'm sorry? Shuda means an assessment. An assessment. So we allow you, Shaliach, to assess the circumstances. I will say, now this presupposes that the Shaliach has like a chush for the Mishalech. They both say, and this also presupposes that time if the Mishalech is sending money with someone, he must know the guy. The guy must trust the guy. So we say to the Shalech, no, you knew the Mishalech. What was his intention? Why was he giving the gift to begin with? Do you think he'd want the Yarshim to have it or not? So that allows, in Bavo they say, let's pick the brain of the Shalech a little bit. Yes, we're going to give him a little bit more judicial discretion, but that also gives us the ability to hopefully really arrive at the mindset of the Mishlech. And I'm about to say, and lastly, for Rav Shimon Hanasi, Maisa Asala Shminan. And Rav Shimon Hanasi, he just simply coming to tell us that what? That Lamaisa, again, at the end of the day, this mamish happens. So both I said, this is how the Gemara interprets the Machlokes. We're going to stop over here. In Emirat Hashem, we're going to pick up with the word lo tomorrow. Which means in Emirat Hashem, the Gemara is going to turn this on its head and say, in fact, that at the root of this Machlokes is something fundamentally different. Just a reminder, tomorrow, regular schedule, Mesilas Hashem 5:45, followed by the Daf at 6 o'clock a.m. Shkoyach. Yes, also just I'm asked to announce, there is a... there is a lecture given on adventures in Israel geography, given by Rabbi Shalom Kelman. It's going to be about really the opening Mishnah in Gittin that discusses the borders of Eretz Yisrael. That's 8 o'clock tonight at Rabbi Teichman Shul at Oel Moshe. 8 o'clock tonight to Dr. Kelman. Shkoyach.
Baltimore, the mayor takes it.
In Baltimore.